And so, my brothers and sisters, we have begun our Lenten journey. We've begun our yearly retreat where we walk with the Lord to the foot of the cross. And it is a journey that all of us, as Christ's faithful, are allowed to make, forced to make, compelled to make. No one is able to exempt himself from the sacrifices involved in this journey with our Lord. However minor those sacrifices may be, we all are required to make them. Even more so in the age in which we find ourselves, because the age in which we live, so overwhelmed by modernity, rejects suffering, rejects sacrifice. Instead, it is an age given over to entitlement, an expectation to be served. It is in desperate need of this journey to our Lord, because it is only in our Lord do we find the corrective from all of these impulses, these temptations that at times can overwhelm us. We must walk in the footsteps of the Lord in order to find our salvation. In truth, it is the only path that we can trod. And as much as we may attempt to go in different ways, in different venues, and in different manners, all of those things will simply lead us further away from God, only following in the exact path that the Lord himself has mapped out for us is the only way that we are able to deepen our relationship with him. That path requires sacrifice. That path requires the cross. Almost as if it's the dirty little secret of Christianity. We speak about joy and love and peace and mercy, but all of that, brothers and sisters, is bound up in the mystery of the Lord's cross. It's gained for us precisely because Christ was willing to suffer and die for us, to shed his blood for us. And as uncomfortable at times as that may be, to contemplate what it is that our Lord endured. And even more difficult to contemplate that he endured it precisely because of my sin, my weakness. It must be contemplated nonetheless. Because if we do not, then that mercy that God bestows upon us, that forgiveness, that compassion, that love, that reconciliation, that grace upon grace poured out in the midst of our temptations really is meaningless, hollow, and empty. It gains its content, it gains its strength, it gains its power precisely because Christ was willing to suffer and die for us. And so the journey begins. The nice thing about this journey is we make it every year. When I was a much younger man, I had all sorts of images about what I would do with each of my Lenten seasons, especially as I grew older and I would be able to take on more. Of course, oftentimes when you're young, you have the ability to contemplate that you will change the world single-handedly. And I believed that I would actually be able to do that. It was only last week that I finally gave up on the idea that I would not be able to change the world single-handedly. It's taken me over half my life to come to the realization that it's not only not my task, but it's not even within my grasp to do so. And the nice thing about this Lenten journey, this yearly retreat, is that year after year, I'm provided an opportunity to further distill myself, to further get the strength I need to pick up the crosses that God wants me to bear, to do the very little part that God is asking me to do. Much like Peter when I was younger, I wanted to step out into the deep. I wanted to walk on the water. I wanted my whole body to be washed. When all that God was asking from me, from us, from all of us, was something small, something concrete, something particular. Don't change the world, because I've already done that. Don't save the world, because I've already done that. Change yourself. Change and save yourself. And in that way, in those acts that God bestows upon us that allow us to be agents of transformation and to use the grace that he bestows upon us, in that way, we cooperate with the grace of God and we then do become agents of change, means of grace for others as much as we receive that grace for ourselves. The world conspires against us. The world tells us that simply what we do here when we offer the holy sacrifice, when we come to praise God, when we come to follow after God, is at best an outdated project, and if at worst is antithetical to the freedoms of man. Religion gets in the way of man becoming truly who he is. God is an obstacle to man's realization of himself. This is what the world tells us. This is what the world convinces us about our faith. But nothing could be further from the truth. And this journey that we take with our Lord, Following after him as we carry our own crosses is precisely to give us the strength we need to be witnesses to the true truth that exists in the world. Not only are we not an obstacle, but quite the opposite is true. As St. John the 23rd said, as he inaugurated the Second Vatican Council, the Church is the means by which the world will come to a deeper understanding of who she actually is and those things that ill man 50 years ago and today and 50 years from now will be healed by the mystery of Holy Mother Church, the mystery of our intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this first Sunday of our Lenten season is always given over to a contemplation of the Lord's temptation. The Lord who receives temptation precisely because he who was going to save us by coming one with us in all things but sin takes on everything that we endure in order to know truly who he is forgiving and the sins that he himself is taking upon. He does this that, as St. Paul says in Hebrews, the great high priest who continues to intercede for us truly knows what it is to be us. The Lord endures temptation in order that we can endure temptation. But we heard in our book, the first reading from the book of Deuteronomy, an understanding of giving God the first fruits, giving over to God in a spirit of gratitude, in a spirit of thanksgiving. Why? Because God is the one who sets us free. God is the one who bent low and heard the cries of his people in the midst of their slavery. God is the one who responded to his people and set them on a path of deep and abiding relationship. God is the one who entered into covenant with his people, who gave them land, who gave them law, who gave them kingdom. These were the things that God bestowed upon his people to fulfill the promises he had made. Promises truly he'd made to Adam and Eve, but promises certainly made concretely to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all of those promises become enfleshed in the mystery of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so the Lord says, give thanks. Through the priest, return a heart full of gratitude for what it is that I have done, what it is that I will do, what it is that I desire to do for you always to set you free, not only from the slavery of the world, but the temptations that lead us into sinfulness, those things that pull us away from relationship instead of us allowing to grow more deeply into relationship with him. We give thanks to God for the blessings that he bestows upon us. We do that, brothers and sisters, most beautifully in this Eucharistic sacrifice. This is the greatest act of thanksgiving, to return to the Father the greatest gift that he bestowed upon us, the gift of his Son, and to do so in the way that our Lord himself told us this is how it must be accomplished. We give thanks because we have been saved. But as St. Paul reminds us in Romans, it is a salvation that became concrete in Christ. We can only do this with our intimate relationship with our Lord. We must know our Lord and Savior. There is no other way. He is, after all, the incarnation of the Father, the physical manifestation of the love that the Father has for us, the embodiment of mercy and compassion and truth and law itself. All of that contained, embodied in our Lord and Savior. To see him is to see the Father. To touch and be with our Lord is to touch and be with truth and life and glory and compassion and mercy itself. And St. Paul says, you must know and must be with Christ. You must cling to him. You have faith, you profess it, and you live it. You confess it with your lips, but you live it with your life by conforming yourself to the mystery of our Lord, most especially to the mystery of our Lord's cross. It is never enough for us to simply say, I believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I then must do the things of my Lord and Savior. And that manifests itself in acts of mercy, corporal and spiritual works of mercy, a life poured out in service to others in the name of our Lord and Savior. And when I cling to Christ in faith, when I confess it with my lips, when I live it in my life, in that way, I make manifest first to myself, but indeed to the whole world, the necessity of our Lord and Savior, and how indeed in clinging to him, I am clinging to the one, the only one, who knows and understands me completely and totally. This is why he willingly goes into the desert, in order to resist temptation, The temptations of the world, the temptations of the flesh, the temptations of the adulation of men, all of these things that Satan sets before him, these can be yours if you worship me, if you choose me, if you tempt God. And in each of those experiences, our Lord says no and turns again and again to the Father. He who had power, after all, he's the second person of the Blessed Trinity, chose in humility to subject himself to the temptations of Satan in order to reveal to us that grace poured out upon grace gives us that same strength. We're not hampered. We're not incapable of resisting temptation. Quite the opposite is true. The graces we receive throughout our daily life, the graces we are receiving in this Eucharistic sacrifice, give us the strength we need to resist the temptations of the world. And there are a great many. You know them as well, and maybe even better than I. Those subtle ways that Satan whispers in our ears. The most powerful and very clear ways that he sets before us, the adulation of men, the power of the world, sex and money and rock and roll, all of these things rolled up. And they're appealing and they're beguiling and they're interesting. That's why they're tempting. Satan doesn't tempt with the ugly. He tempts with the things that seemingly are beautiful. But once Satan grabs hold of our hearts and pulls us toward himself, is a game that he plays with us for all eternity, if we allowed ourselves into this trap. There is no peace that comes in giving ourselves over to temptation. The only peace that we can find is peace in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who draws us deeply into relationship with the Father, who reveals to us the very heart, the very economy, the very essence of the Blessed Trinity itself. We are brought into relationship with Father, Son, and Spirit, and only there do we find abiding peace. Are the temptations of the world real? Indeed, they are. And there are experiences and times where we give in to our temptations, such as the beauty of the mercy that we celebrate in this year of mercy. The Lord knows that we sin. The Lord is aware of our weakness. And he enjoins us to approach that throne of mercy as often as we need to, day after day, if need be, week after week, month after month, year after year. How often, however we need to, we go to the throne of mercy, because God will always be there to forgive us if we sincerely desire to be restored in relationship with him. Brothers and sisters, we do sin. We do fail. We do give in to the temptations, to the whispering in our ear, to the glamour of the world. But that is not the end of our story, and it doesn't have to be the end of our story. Precisely because Christ himself makes very clear, not only in resisting temptation, but in his mercy and his love for us, that says, come to my sacred heart, find the strength you need in me, and together we will resist the things that pull you away from the Father, and we will adorn you with the armor that you need to be closer to him. This is, after all, what we are doing in our Lenten journey. We're expelling the darkness, and we're embracing the light. The practical ways we do this, first and foremost, is through a life of prayer, fasting, almsgiving, that traditional triumvirate that is given to us in our Lenten season. More prayer, more mortification, more sacrifice, giving ourselves away, opening ourselves up more to those graces that they can truly take root in our hearts. The practice of mortification, that age-old practice of sacrificing slowly but surely, is something that all of us can do, large or small. Some of us are able to do more, some of us are able to do less. We don't judge ourselves by one another, rather by what God is speaking to us in our hearts. We also have an opportunity throughout this Lenten journey for the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. And then your parish mission, which will begin this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Notice what I did there, how I kind of worked that in? Because I'm the mission speaker. So I will be with you Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evening. Tuesday and Wednesday evening, we'll have confessions from 6 to about 6:45 or 6:50. Then at 7 o'clock each evening, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we will gather together and listen to what God has to say to us. I will be speaking, but God is the one to whom you need to listen, because it is in listening to the Lord that we are drawn more deeply into relationship with him. All of this is given to us for the sole purpose of deepening and strengthening our relationship with him. This is the only reason we exist, to give praise, glory, and honor to God, and in so doing to be of service to our brothers and sisters, that in the fullness of time we, together, may all enjoy the fruits of everlasting life. And so pay heed to the words of St. Paul. And in truth, the words of Paul are the words of the Lord himself, that indeed we must believe in Jesus Christ, and in times of temptation, call upon the name of the Lord. Because when we call upon the name of the Lord, it is the only name that will save.